This is America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners-sponsored digital radio. Around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com, on the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course, on the beloved NSN app. Well, we mentioned that the Noller family, just a couple of days ago, completed Shiva, and sometimes these days are even harder than Shiva, the days after Shiva. And the Noller family, in addition to mourning the terrible tragedy of Master Sergeant Nadav Elchanan Noller, who was taken to us by the hand of the enemy, Hashem Yikom Damo. In addition to that, I've mentioned that the Noller and Siegel family, even though we don't see each other regularly, has had a connection for close to 50 years, multiple generation connection for close to 50 years. So we certainly, as difficult as every one of these tragedies is, this one obviously hit close to home for many people who are familiar with the Nollers. And we're going to use this opportunity this morning as a global community of JMNAM listeners to pass on our sincerest wishes of condolences to Eli, the brave soldier's father, and the entire family. With that in mind, Eli Noller, wish it was under different circumstances, but nonetheless a pleasure to welcome you to JM in the AM.
Thank you, Nachum, and thank you for reaching out during these very, very difficult days for us as a family, and of course for all of Am Yisrael all over the world.
Are you feeling that type of love? Have you been contacted over the last week and a half by people in different parts of the world of different backgrounds who lament the fact that you and your family have to go through this terrible pain and anguish?
I would say overwhelmed is really the more accurate description for what went on here in the last 8 days. We got up from Shiva 2 days ago. And from the second that the news was released by the IDF spokesman that Nadav fell al Kiddush Hashem on Sir Nitzarim, right where the settlement of Nitzarim used to be in Gush Katif, throughout the funeral and the Shiva, we were really overwhelmed with people that we didn't even know from all segments of society of Israel who came to comfort us in any way they could.
Wow. And as I mentioned, this global community that meets on a regular basis certainly extends our condolences to you and the family. What do they tell you in the immediate aftermath about the circumstances? Is this, I don't know much about war, thank God. Certainly not up close and personal. Was this a typical battle? Was it a specific type of episode? Was it an explosive or one of those types of detonated items that we constantly read about and hear about? Did they brief you immediately on the circumstances of his passing?
Right. So, of course, as the days went on and the investigation into exactly what happened went on, in order to learn lessons, military lessons, from tactical lessons from it. All these details are, of course, provide some closure for the family. But honestly, and I will share them with you if that's of interest, but honestly, we tried to concentrate throughout the Shiva on how Nadav lived his life rather than how he died, al Kiddush Hashem.
Yeah,
Nadav was doing his third round of miluim. This since Simchat Torah, he was in Florida to see my in-laws with his wife of 4 years, Hadar, and their baby, Yair, who's now 16 months old. And the second that they heard that the war broke out, he got on the first plane to come home. And since he's been in miluim, and this was his third round at miluim, This time they were assigned to the Nitzarim corridor, which is basically a large corridor that divides Gaza from east to west, from where Kibbutz Be'eri is in the east, going across west towards the ocean, towards the sea, where the settlement of Nitzarim was in Gush Katif. And their mission was to widen the Nitzarim corridor to prevent our enemies from getting close to our soldiers and, of course, from crossing from south to north. And they went out at night from the area set up a fortified front-facing position. And they brought their generators with them and their portable lights and their fans and every outlets, water tanks, everything they needed. And after they had set up camp in this large building, they got an intelligence warning that it was a hot red alert that there's a terrorist cell coming directly to them to cause them great harm.
Wow.
The officers very quickly got organized. They left the lights on, they left the radios on, they left the fans on as if they were still in that building. It was 10 o'clock at night. And they moved another half a mile down the road on the Nitzarim corridor. They made a right turn into a small alleyway with the intention of surprising the enemy from a direction that they weren't expecting. And Nadav, being the staff sergeant of his infantry unit, made sure that everybody was in the building after they made sure there were no terrorists or bombs in there, of course. And he, as well as the commander, were outside to direct the tank that went along with them to position him on this small alleyway to be situated right in front of the entrance of the building. And that's when this tremendous explosion occurred. Nadav, as well as the commander, were killed instantly on the spot. Three of the guys in the tank from the blast lost consciousness. The walkie-talkie communication system with the tank was knocked out, and two walls of the house where the force was inside the house collapsed and injured a total of 11 soldiers. In addition to this, because of the force of the blast, they couldn't find Eyal, who was the young man, from Hod HaSharon that was with him. And it was pitch black, of course, at night, and there's no electricity, and they couldn't find Eyal any place. Later they found him about 150 yards from the area where they had been. Think about even more than a football field. Mm-hmm. And learning the lessons from Hadar Golden, who was kidnapped by the Hamas in this type of situation, they immediately declared a Hannibala, a kidnapped soldier situation. And were treated as if the soldier was kidnapped. And that's when, as they say, military jargon, all hell broke loose in the sky. The sky was lit up. Helicopters, missiles, tanks firing in all directions just to save the life of Chayal and prevent him from being kidnapped by the Hamas, which, as we know, is a brutal enemy.
That's an understatement. Eli Noller with us live via telephone from Israel as we speak about the hero, his son, Master Sergeant Nadav Elchanan Noller, who was killed by the enemy. I appreciate you sharing this tale step by step because it only increases awareness for those of us who wonder about the heroism and the courage of every one of the soldiers. And every step you describe does take heroism and courage and bravery and a tremendous faith in the one above to move forward at every twist and turn. And, you know, we always say that whenever, unfortunately, and it's been obviously over 300 times since the start of this war, every time we mention the names of soldiers who've been killed by the enemy, we always say that they've taken our best and brightest. The enemy has a unique ability to take our best and brightest. And then, of course, we discover that everybody, they're all our best and brightest. And I can only imagine what you feel and how you feel about the heroism of your son and his comrades throughout this entire episode.
Right. And something I want to add, Nachum, is that, you know, we say at the Pesach Seder every year, Om Dimayinu L'chaloseinu, that our enemies in every generation are interested in destroying us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Mi'adam, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks over us and helps us to defeat our enemies. And that's what, Bezrat Hashem, God willing, will be also, because we have a choice. Our enemies want to kill us regardless of who we are. We were talking here at the Shiva of a picture of my grandfather who was in the German Imperial Army in World War One in 1916. He volunteered for the motherland, for the fatherland, because there was a war on, and as a good loyal Jew, he volunteered to fight in the German army, even though he was married and had two kids. And a few years later, they thanked him very much for his service and sent him to Auschwitz, to the crematorium, together with my grandmother. And he went to the crematorium along with millions of other Jews, regardless of their affiliation. There were Reform Jews that went with him. There were Hasidic Jews. There were Misnagdim Jews. There were Bundists. There were socialists. There were communists. Regardless, Hitler did not discriminate. And I think that's a lesson that we have to learn in terms of unity, regardless of where we live and what shul you daven in, and which circles you're affiliated with. I mean, Nadav was a religious young man. He went to yeshiva high school. He learned in Mechina a year after high school of B'nai David and Eli, that has now lost 22 graduates. And he was proud that he was religious, that he lived in Karnei Shomron, in the Shomron. And he was killed by the same bomb blast, together with his commander, a young man by the name of Eyal Avinun from Horda Sharon. Not a religious person, not a person with the same politics at all that Nadav held. And the bomb blast took them, took two Jews, and killed them both. Our modern day enemy doesn't discriminate either.
Yeah, I have to add, by the way, and I'm adding this for a specific reason for some members of this audience. Whether one was dancing with the Torah on Shmini Atzeres or whether one was dancing in the desert on Shmini Atzeres, either way, the enemy tried their hardest to kill both types of Jews and many others, as you pointed out.
That's correct. And a lot of people, as some your listeners probably remember, in Tel Aviv, as the run-up to Simchas Torah, the religious community of Tel Aviv wanted to have a public hakafas, have a public dancing, right, with a mechitza.
Right.
It was a slight mechitza, and there was a certain segment of the population that were very, very against it because, it's segregation, as they said. And this is a lesson, like you said, that, we're being taught a lesson that the Achdus must be present in every day, regardless of our exact affiliation.
Eli Noller is with us from Israel. Eli, how many years are you in Israel now?
I'm in Israel, Baruch Hashem, 35 years, Nachum.
Wow. And this may sound like a really unusual question. So bear with me. I've been to Shiva calls when I've seen, I've been to Shiva calls of soldiers' families. I regret that I wasn't at yours. And I've seen that when the groups of soldiers come, literally the comrades, the colleagues, the friends and associates who are on the front lines with the fallen, when they come to comfort the family, and from the Shiva call, they go right back to their base. I want to ask you what that's like. I would imagine it's quite comforting when family members, people around the world, even strangers come. There's a certain level and a certain type of comfort. What's it like sitting there with your son's colleagues?
Well, it's first of all very comforting that these men in there, Nadav was 30 when he was killed, and these men who are on Miluim in reserve duty, most of them are married men with a family at home. Again, some with earrings in their ears, some with a kippah on their head, some without a kippah on their head, and they all just came to pay tribute to their comrade Nadav, who had fallen. And it was very, very moving. Some of them had come straight from the hospital because there were 11 of them who were hurt, including Rav Yishai Engelman, who is a Rosh Yeshiva in Malei Adumim, at the Yeshiva Hesder in Malei Adumim, was on active Miluim duty together with Nadav. We wish him a refuah shlema. And for the rest of them, and they came straight from the hospital to the Shiva because it was so important for them. Then they went back to the hospital or back to the front lines to continue fighting. It was indeed very comforting, Nachum.
I would certainly imagine so. What's interesting, and it sounded to me like you've directly said it, but it was in more general terms a couple of minutes ago, and that is that one might suspect, and you're very familiar with American Jewish parents, one might suspect that going through this pain, this agony, one might take the opportunity to ask for an end to this war, for it not to continue because the sacrifice, the pain, the blood is so great. Yet it sounds like you're feeling exactly the opposite, that even with the terrible loss of your son and something that will be with you forever, obviously, and the reality that your family and extended family has now been tossed into, it does sound like you would prefer if the IDF and the Army of Israel and of God would continue until the enemy is eradicated.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it, because we have no choice. We have absolutely no choice. We didn't ask for this war. But if you start it up with us, like a bully in the alleyway, don't come crying now that we're going to fight back as proud Jews. Because anything less, we will find ourselves in the same situation in a year and a half or two. And there are people in the country who are being fueled, of course, by the left and by the news outlets, the newspapers, the internet sites, the English language internet sites, are calling for a deal at any price, no matter what, and a ceasefire at any price, and to return thousands of terrorists with blood on their hands at any price, just to stop this war. And my message is exactly the opposite. My message is that every single Jewish life is holy and is valuable. However, we have no choice but to fight them and to defeat them.
And we should mention, and I'm sure I'm right about this, but we should add that you and many people who feel like you have the greatest sympathy and feel much pain and agony for the families and for the hostages themselves. And nonetheless, even with all the compassion and the love you have for them, for the future of the Jewish people, you feel this is the best approach.
Yes, of course, there's no doubt. It's only natural for parents to want their kidnapped child to be home.
Yeah.
And that's only natural. However, you know what, Nachum? I had three boys and a son-in-law fighting in infantry units since Simchat Torah together for months on end. And I wanted them home. Their wives wanted them home. But you know what? We realized that there's a national interest right now of fighting against our bitter enemy that supersedes our personal interests. And we don't have a choice again. We didn't start this war. We didn't want this war. But we have to be smart, and we have to be strong, and we have to defeat the enemy till the end. A total knockout. A total knockout. And I didn't hear the song that was played before I came on air, but I heard you said the name of the song was Am HaNetzach,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And that's indeed what I said at the Levaya at the funeral. Am HaNetzach lo mefached mederach arukah. The eternal people are not afraid of a long journey. And that's indeed, it was appropriate to play that song before I came on.
Eli Noller with us live via telephone. Nadav Elchanan Noller, Master Sergeant Nadav Elchanan Noller, among the over 300 soldiers who've been taken by the enemy and who have been mourned by their families and continue to be mourned by their families during this war. I have to ask you, obvious as this answer might be to people like yourself, where did this generation come from in Israel? You mentioned three sons, a son-in-law. I'm assuming they were all in the Gaza area, unless maybe somebody was up north. And many commentators, sincere, you know, pro-Israel commentators, both from the Jewish and secular media, have mentioned how shocked they are that this generation of young men in their teens, 20s, and 30s, who often are viewed as much more spoiled and privileged and whatever the words you want to use than prior generations who, in fact, were so heroic in the building and the fighting for the state of Israel, they never felt they had the mettle, the wherewithal, to do what is necessary against this enemy. And, of course, it has turned out, as we've seen, that people like your sons and son-in-law have gone ahead and have put in a yeoman's effort and have accomplished a great deal in this battle. Where did this generation come from? You're observing this up close and personal for 35 years. Again, you know the perspective because of where you grew up, of diaspora Jewry on all this and what the current younger generations are like around the world. What could you tell us about this unique generation of Israelis?
Look, indeed, there's a theory that we're in the me generation, that it's all about me. And that's where we're at today. You know, it's all people say it's the I generation. It's all about my iPad and my iPhone and that people really only care about themselves. But we saw on Simchat Torah when war broke out, Israelis who were all over the world, and they were on vacation, you know, in Thailand, they were in South America doing their after army trip. My Nadav was in Florida visiting my in-laws for Simchat Torah for the holidays. People were fighting to get onto planes to get back here to fight. A normal people if they hear war, they would run the other way.
Exactly. That's why.
How do I get out of here?
That's why, frankly, it's hard to explain. And we know this from another recent terrible loss in Israel. It's hard to explain that soldiers who have no longer an obligation to do reserve duty go back and do reserve duty.
That's right. I mean, Nadav schlepped his young wife and his 16-month-old child. He schlepped them back to Israel the next day. What? Continue your trip to Florida. Enjoy yourself. You know, have a good time. But why are kids who are on their after Army TULIM, they're backpacking trips in the Himalayas.
And they've done their service.
Yeah, they did their 3 years. They did. They're finished. They, you know, some of them just finished, and you know they went in September to their trip that they saved up for, and they were planning for the 3 years that they were in the Army. You know, the guys, they planned their trip, what they're going to do afterwards,
right?
The day after, as they say. And here it is. There's this dedication and this love for the country, for this generation, that I think is also what we were talking about before, Nahum. We have no other place to go. Germany was good for the Jews for hundreds of years. And I'd like to say America was good for the Jews for a couple of hundred years also. Germany came to an end. We see what's going on in America.
We certainly do. And
we see it in Europe for already a number of years. And today, the generation of children being raised in Israel understand clearly that Thailand's a nice place to visit, and so is Florida, and these are great places, you know, to go on vacation to. But that in terms of our homeland, we've been waiting for over 2,000 years to come home, and that this is it. This is where we're at.
We're speaking with Eli Noller. We're mourning the loss of his son, Master Sergeant Nadav Elchanan Noller, as you heard Shiva just ended a couple of days ago. Finally, Eli, I hate to bring this up. I really do hate to bring this up, but you're somebody who has been, you know, on many fronts in Israel, including, in a way, the political front. I don't think you've ever run for office, but you've certainly have had your hand on the finger on the pulse of the political scene. And everything we've discussed in this conversation about the direction that Israel must continue with, I just fear that the leadership in Israel is not prepared to make that type of commitment. Do you fear the same, that the logical need to continue until the right conclusion of this war may not be on the agenda of those who lead Israel and the IDF?
Look, I remember every time the Jets lost their football game.
Yeah.
we'd sit around. I know which team you like, Nahum. That's what I'm saying. Every time the New York Jets lost on Sunday, we'd all sit around and be what they call Monday morning quarterbacks.
Right?
Yeah. And it's very, very easy to be a Monday morning quarterback. Ah, he should have passed. He should have run. He should have punted. Why did he go for it? And all those things. It's very easy. You know, as they say, you know, hindsight is 60-60, right? And I don't think anybody listening or in this country would have wanted to be prime minister of Israel on October 7th.
Right.
And whatever happened and whatever failures there were in the information and the intelligence, the time will come to investigate that. But it's very easy to be, you know, a Monday morning quarterback. And I think the people are strong. The people want to win. For sure, our soldiers want to win. I saw that here at the Shiva. I saw it at the funeral. I hear it day in, day night. And the commanders want to win. And the leaders, and many of them came here to the Shiva house to pay their respects during the Shiva. Ministers, representative of the president of Israel came as well. And my boys, who you know, are Miluim, still said to them, we have to hear it from the leaders. We have to hear it from you know, the Knesset.
Will we? Do you think we will hear that from the leaders?
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. And I certainly hope that the politicians, both here and Israel, and especially in the United States and Europe, will give the IDF the ability to do what's right in fighting this brutal enemy.
Yeah. You said Nadav was killed in the Netzarim area, correct? And now I'm going to do exactly what you just instructed me not to do. Now I'll be a Monday morning quarterback and say decisions of almost 20 years ago would have made the situation in the Netzarim area very different than what's going on there now.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's correct. The people who are yelling and screaming, you know, to get the Jews out of Gush Katif. They got the Jews out of Gush Katif. They evicted them from their homes. They destroyed all the shuls, all the synagogues, filled the ground in exchange for peace. And this is what we got.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Eli, all I could say is Hamakom minachem etchem, min hashamayim tenachamu. You and your entire family should be comforted by the one above, and I can only imagine what your daughter-in-law and everybody else is going through at this point. Please accept our sincerest condolences and know, which I know you already know, that your son is part of a unique group of tremendous heroes who, as Jewish history is being written, will be recognized as a true defender of the borders, land, people, and state of Israel.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Nachum, for your warm words of comfort and the support of so many people around the world at this very hard time for both us personally as a family and for all of Am Yisrael.
Yeah, well, you and your family. It's funny that there's certain people in life, you know, you don't see each other too often, but like I've said on the air, it seems that the Noller and Siegel families are linked forever. So what can I say other than to whatever degree we can, we feel the tremendous pain, agony, and sorrow that that you and so many others are going through at this time. Stay well, my friend, and the best regards, and Bezrat Hashem, we will...
Thank you.
We will
thank you very much,
we will reunite in the Holy Land, please God.
We should only hear Besoros Tovos, Yeshuos V'Nechamos.
Amen. Eli Noller, as we remember his son, Master Sergeant Nadav Elchanan Noller, on a Wednesday morning at JM in the AM.